Amen to that. Abraham asked a question in Genesis 15, and this is very, very interesting to me, the way this is all worded and the way it's all lined out in Scripture. Do you believe the Bible this morning? You believe it's the Word of God, okay? When you don't have anything else, you've got that book. And I've been in situations where I didn't have anything else. I did not have anything else. And God opened up to me the words of life, and I'm alive today because of it. Genesis 15, I want you to notice some things that just really stood out to me. And I've been preaching on the inheritance. A lot of times I don't have really a straight idea of where I'm going with each particular sermon. It just seems like God takes over. But maybe this will help somebody this morning. Maybe this will help somebody who's not sure. Somebody who's not sure. Okay? You'll see what I mean by that here in a minute. Let's start at verse 1. We'll move our way down. I'm going to end up in verse 8. But after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And you have to understand, Abram is an old man by now. Okay, he's old. He's what I guess many of us would consider past the prime or past whatever. Sarah likewise. But God made a promise to do the impossible. Write that down somewhere. You're going to need it. And so he said, verse 5, now watch this now. "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." If you get out of town, and you have to go way out of town, you have to get way out in the country somewhere at night, on a clear night, in order to see all that there is out there. If you live in town and you go outside, you might see about a dozen stars and the moon on any given night. If you go way out in the middle of nowhere and about 3 o'clock in the morning, go out there and look at that, it'll look like it's right in your face. It is absolutely amazing. We kind of lost a lot of that. But the stars, even what Abraham saw, was innumerable. What we can now see with our telescopes is way beyond numerable. They have a computer network. I found this out, Alan. They have a computer network. It's a volunteer thing. This one, whatever it is, will link into your computer and use your computer as part of their network to count and label stars. They've got these telescopes looking out there, and they'll take a picture, and they'll use the combined power of all these computers all over the world to help them count and label every star that they can see. It's not going to happen. Amen. Okay? We can't tell the stars, can we? That's just how big God is and how small we are. He said, "Tell the stars that thou be able to number them." And he said unto them, "So shall thy seed be." And watch this now. Watch this. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So I want you to get this in your mind. As of this point, now God, we know that when someone is saved, we know from Scripture that they have been, God has elected them according to his foreknowledge, what the Bible says, before the foundation of the world. That's a hard thing for us to comprehend. It's hard for me to grasp, and I don't quite understand everything there is about it, but I try to learn a little bit as much as I can. But there is always a point, and if we go back 3 chapters, you see in Genesis 12, where God made a promise to Abraham that out of his seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So we saw that there in Genesis 12. Now there comes a time in Genesis 15 where God showed Abraham, he said, "Look at the stars," and he said, "That's how much your seed's going to be." And Abraham believed exactly what God said. And he said, "You know, I've already got it set up where Eliezer, my chief servant, he's going to take over my family when I leave." And God said, no. The child that comes forth out of your bowels, Abram, is going to be the inheritor of all your blessings and all the blessings that I've given you. They're going to inherit that thing. And God said, this is how it's going to happen. And at that point, Abram believed God, and God imputed righteousness to him. Even though you and I have, according to the way God sees everything, God sees all of human history all at once. Do you believe that? He sees, if there is no mystery, there's no secret to him. There's nothing where God said, ooh, that was hiding, I didn't see that coming. He sees it all, and so he elects according to his foreknowledge. So before the foundation of the world, God knew that you were going to be saved. But there is always a time when we come to that conclusion, we come to that agreement, we come to the place in our life where we say, I believe what God said. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe I'm lost and dying and going to hell. I believe I've violated God's ways. I believe that I cannot save myself. I believe that only God and only Christ can save me by the shed blood of the atonement of Jesus Christ on the cross. I believe what I believe his word. I believe what he said. And I want to go to heaven when I die. How many of you know a time, remember a time, you know today that that is true in your life? And if you were to die today, you would go to heaven. Somebody say amen, raise your hand. You can jump up if you want to. I'll let it happen for a little while. It wouldn't hurt you to get just a little happy for about a second. Amen. It's not the trip up that hurts. It's the trip down. Amen. Okay? Some of us that have fallen know about all that stuff. Amen? Okay? It's not the trip. It's the trip down. But anyway, so there's a time. There is a time when we come to that realization that God said it, I believe it, and it's settled. Amen? But afterward, there's a little doubt. Is with me. Has been with me. A little doubt. So we believed what God said, and God imputed righteousness to us. That means we are clean from all sin and all transgression. I like it. But then, and I want you to look at this. He believed in the Lord, verse 6, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And in verse 7, he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Now look at verse 8. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Now, he's already believed God, and God has given him the imputation of righteousness, which means that Abraham is in heaven right now, not by his works of righteousness. Can I hear God's people say amen? Amen. That is a big battle that I am dealing with right now, not inwardly. It's not a struggle with me. It is a struggle with some people who believe that you can be saved by something you do or some things that you don't do. And I'm here to tell you, get off your high horse on what you're doing or what you're not doing. Get off of it. Okay? He believed God, and God imputed righteousness to him. But right after this, he's asking the question, Lord, whereby or how, but whereby, by what thing shall I know that I shall inherit it? How will I know that I'm going to have eternal life? Have you ever asked that question? And I'm not saying like before you start going to church and God's dealing with you. I'm talking after you've ever questioned in your heart. You maybe you didn't jump up and say, bless God, I don't know if I'm going to heaven today or not. Woo! You never say that. But down in the deep places of your mind, there's a question. And I want you to notice, if you keep reading this, and there are several things we're going to look at here in a little bit. When Abram asked that question, God didn't smack him down, kill him and say, how dare you question me? You had no right to question me. You can't question me. Who do you think you are? Because God himself says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. It is a natural thing in our mind to not be sure of certain things. This is why I am not the Bible. This is why I am not, and my words and the things that I say, these are not the inerrant, infallible words of God. This word of God is the word of God, and it is a what Peter called a sure word of prophecy. So, I mean, I like to make everything simple. I could just say this, and we can stand and pray and leave and go home. But at times when I am not sure, I don't go to someone else who is not sure either. If I think there's something wrong in my body, and I'm not sure what's wrong, and I'm not sure what's going on, I'm not going to call Jimmy Carmichael. I love you, but you're not a doctor. I'm not going to call you and say, Jimmy, boy, I tell you, I got something going on, you know, right below my rib cage, and I don't know, it's kind of giving me problems, and it aches every now and then. Can you help? Do you know what that is? And Jimmy's going to say, yeah. Wasn't counting on that one. But he don't know. He don't know what's wrong with me. I'm going to go find out somebody that knows, so that I'll know. And I could make it that simple. When you are ever in a place that you don't know, in a place that I want to know, go to the one who knows instead of all the people who don't. See how simple that is? I ain't kidding you. We could just go home now and be done with it. But let me touch on a few things. God answered the question. And there's several things in the Bible I'm just going to share with you, and you pray for me, all right? Down in verse 13, after he said, how shall I know that I shall inherit it? In verse 13, he said, and Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come, afterward shall they come out with great substance. Thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not full. And first thing, when Abram asked this question, but I tell you what, let's do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer very quickly and ask God to bless this message. You pray for me this morning. All right, Heavenly Father, Lord, I need your help to pray, Lord, to preach the message. I believe, God, this is what you would have me to preach. And I'm asking you, God, Lord, in my best effort or my worst effort, God, that you would bless the message. Father, Lord, bless one, but bless a dozen. Bless people all over this building, God. They need help. They're, God, Lord, they need assurance. They need to know whether or not they're going to have the inheritance. They need to know. So, Father, I'm asking you, God, Lord, to just bless the message. Bless it while I preach it. Bless it after I preach it. Use it for your kingdom and your glory's sake. And Lord, I'm going to ask you this morning to be the preacher. And I'm going to ask you to rise and give us bread this morning so that we may eat. These people are hungry. And they're starving, Lord. And I don't think I can feed them today. So, Lord God, would you help them? Help them with your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said. The first thing God said unto him, he said, know of a surety. Know of a surety. God did not, he was not angry at Abram. He was not chastising him. He did not beat on him. He did not kill him. He did not say, how dare you question me? Don't you know who I am? God didn't do anything like that. God, listen, God made you out of dirt. He knows he made you out of dirt. And he understands that we don't know or understand everything that God knows. But he knows that we are going to ask him questions because we want to know, and God will deliver that. And so here is Abraham saying, Lord, how will I know? And God answers by saying, know of a surety. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be. And so what he does, he goes on, watch this now, he goes on to relay to Abram exactly what's going to happen in the future. Because that's really what all of this is about, isn't it? It's not about, God, what happened in my past? God, what happened 12 years ago? What happened 14? God, what happened 20 years ago? What was that happened when I was a child? Even if we find out some things that happened to us when we were young or happened 5 years ago or a week ago, it wouldn't matter, because what should concern us and what concerns me in my daily life is not what happened to me 10 years ago. What is going to happen to me today? What is going to happen to me tomorrow? How am I going to be 5 years from now? How am I going to be 10 years from now? What is going to be the outcome of my life? God, will I be able to go to heaven when I die? Ask that question. Ask the question, God, where am I going? Where am I going to be? What am I going to be like for eternity? Am I going to be like the angels of heaven? Am I going to be playing a harp in heaven? Am I going to be around the throne? Am I going to be in the land flowing with milk and honey? Or am I going to be in the lake of fire? You need to ask the question. Some of you don't want to ask because you're afraid to ask. You don't want it brought up. Yeah, that's why you don't like people talking to you about the Lord. You get mad at it. You get defensive. You say do all kinds of things because it makes you uncomfortable. Because when somebody asks a question, it demands an answer, and you don't like the answer. And I'm just thinking this morning that maybe somebody here or maybe somebody listening, God's confronting you with the question, where am I going to be? What's going to happen to me? What is the outcome going to be? How is it going to turn out? God's confronting you with the question, and you're going to have to deal with what the answer is. And if you're here today or you're listening to my voice today, and you don't, and or the answer that is confronting you is, if you died today, you would go to hell. Deal with it. Deal with it. How many people on the news did you hear of in the St. Louis area that died this last week? 5? 10? How many people? We went to the barbershop the other day, and on the barbershop, it's a local barbershop, so on the barbershop door, they've got the obituaries of all the people that died this week on the front door. All these people died. Did they ever ask the question, where am I going? What's going to happen to me? Where am I going to spend eternity? So God gives Abram an answer. He says, no, of a surety thy seed will be a stranger in the land. So what God does is God gives him an outline. He says, number one, your seed. So that answered a big question right there. Abram doesn't have any seed yet. But God is already promising that his seed is going to be a stranger in a strange land. Did that come to pass? Did it come to pass? Absolutely. Before it ever happened. Does that kind of convince you that maybe God can see farther than you can? Absolutely. So God says your people are going to be a stranger in a foreign land. And he said they're going to serve them and they should afflict them for 400 years. Did it happen? Absolutely. And then also that nation whom they shall serve, will I judge? Did God judge Egypt? Yes. They're at the bottom of the Red Sea. To this day, they're down there. And then God said they're going to come out with great substance. Did that happen? Absolutely. You know what this? You know what God was telling him? Abram, I am a God of prophecy. I not only can just say I think what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen because I see it happening. As far as my eyes are concerned, I see it happening right now. And Abram, I'm telling you this is going to happen. And lo and behold, people, listen to me. It happened exactly the way God said it was going to happen. And I will tell you something. You rip that Bible open and you read it cover to cover and you find out what God said he was going to happen and what God said he'll do, I promise you, you'll start seeing that God has already done things that he said he was going to do. Somebody say amen. If you look at your life and look at how God has brought you to this place and brought you this time right now in your life, no matter if it's good or bad, you look back, you look in this book, and you find out that God did exactly what he said he was going to do. Amen. God is a God of prophecy. He is a sure word of prophecy. And if God said it, he'll do it. The first thing you need to embed in your thoughts and embed in your heart and use it as an anchor for your drifting soul is the anchor that if God said he will do something, He will do it. That's what God said. So God's a God of prophecy. Then I want you to look at verse 18, same chapter. Abram's going, Lord, how am I going to know? How will I know? What will be the sign to me that I'll do this? Genesis 15, verse 18. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Now I'm going to stop right here. And just kind of apply it like in an earthly realm. If your daddy has a will, and there's three or four of you kids, somebody in the will is probably going to end up with something that somebody else wanted. Amen? I mean, that's just kind of how it happens. Okay? And there's always this big mystery. I wonder who's in the will. Dad's got $1 million. Dad's got, the real estate all over the place. He's got this coming in and that coming in. I wonder who's going to inherit that when daddy dies. How will I know if I'm going to be the inheritor? How will I know if I'm going to inherit what daddy's got? The best surefire way of knowing whether or not that you're going to receive the inheritance, read the will. Amen. Read the last will and what? Testament. Read the covenant. Read the contract. Read the testament. When you are in doubt, get your sure word out and read it. Read it. Read three verses of it. Read a chapter of it. Read a whole book worth of it. Somehow, some way, God will tell you whether or not you're going or not. Do you believe that? Say amen. Read the testament. But then he said, so in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates. By the way, the land of Israel as it exists right now does not match what God said. Is God a liar? He's not done. He's not done. Move over, Egyptians. You're trespassing on ground that doesn't belong to you. Move over, Iraqis. And the Syrians, you're on ground that does not belong to you. You know what I think God's going to do? Move them out. That's what it said. Under this land of the great river Euphrates. Now watch this. Now look at verse 19, 20, and 21. Those verses. Guess what I did when I read those verses? Guess what I did? I went, the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, that's three. The Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaims, that's four. By the way, Rephaims were giants. Probably most of these other guys were too. Rephaims, that's six. The Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, that's nine. And the Jebusites, that's what? The law. Okay? The same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt and the great river, the river Euphrates. And he said, that land, watch this now, that formerly belongs to the ten is now going to belong to you. Whenever you see ten of something, think of the commandments. Think of the law. Okay? What Romans 7 says, the law hath dominion over a man as long as he lives. And these ten kingdoms have dominion over this land. The law rules over us in that since we break the law, our flesh is cursed. Do you know what God's going to do? He's going to give us dominion by belief and by faith and by grace over the things that formerly only the law had dominion over. Does that make sense to everybody? In other words, you're not going to receive it in your flesh. It will be when you die. Because I just want you to hang on to this one. Because short of the trumpet sounding and the Lord appearing in the heavens with a shout, short of that happening before you draw your last breath, you're going to lay somewhere and you're going to die. And I've asked God a million times, if I've asked Him once, God, out of all the doubts I have in my life, all the insecurities, all the unassuredness that I have, that I deal with, that I struggle with on a daily basis. And boy, to be honest with you, I'm dealing with it now. I'm fighting it right now, up here. Insecurity, instability. I deal with it a lot. My wife knows me. She'll see me laid up in the bed, sucking my thumb in a fetal position. Not quite that bad, but she'll see me laying up in the bed with my head down. What's the matter? She knows. And I deal with that a lot. Being under my house that day I was nearly killed made me stop and think. Mike, you didn't know that was going to happen. You did not see that coming. Okay? But I promise you, you show me an electrical wire, I see something coming. Okay? I don't like electrical wires anymore. So I don't go there. But I did not see that coming. And I begged God probably 100,000 times, God, before that happens for real, I want to be like Abraham, and I want to know. I want to know. And so here's what, in fact, let me do this. Let me take the message this way. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. You believe the Bible, say amen. Amen. First Thessalonians chapter 5. If you were to be like me, maybe you're not. Maybe you're not. But I think there are some that are. If you were to be like me, when you look back at things that you have done, things that you said that you shouldn't have said, things that you were a part of, you shouldn't have been a part of, if you look at the Ten Commandments and say, yeah, I broke that one. Yeah, I broke that one. Whoops, broke that one. I broke that one. Broke that one. You just go down the list. There's probably more commandments that you broke than ones you didn't. Does that sound about right? There's probably more commandments that you broke than those that you didn't. Those, and it's because we know, you know, God wants us holy and God wants us clean. And I believe all in that. Trust me, I do. But when we look at the 10 and see what we've broken, it makes us go, how can I live with a holy God? How can I do that? So if I were to look backward at where I was, I would say, there's no way in the world I'm going to heaven. By the way, the Watchman video broadcast, I went ahead and put it out last night late before I went to bed. I want to encourage you to watch it. Okay? You do it if you want to or not, okay? But I talk a lot about what's behind us. Raise your hand if you've got something that's back here that you don't want coming back on you anymore. Raise your hand. Amen. Yep. Don't want it. Don't want it. It might even be an ex-wife or an ex-husband. I don't know, you know. But somebody or something back here, you don't want them coming back anymore. Amen? Does that make it simple enough for you? Okay? If I were to look back at 47 and a half years of life, that would tell me I am not going to heaven. There's no way in the world that's going to happen with me. There's more Roys in here than just one. I mean, when I'm picking on him, the rest of y'all ought to be going, phew, boy, I'm glad he's not talking about me today. Phew. So you know what the Apostle Paul said? Forgetting those things that are behind. When I come in of a day and I do the watchman, or I'm going to do something on camera, I've got a mirror up there and I've got a comb hidden. So nobody, I don't want it to get lost. I've only got one comb to my name, and it's up there in that room somewhere. And so when I'm fixing to be on camera, before I turn the cameras on, I'll take that comb and go over my hair with it, what's left of it. Okay? And to be honest with you, my wife does this, I don't. My wife's got a mirror that she holds up she can't do it now because his arm's messed up. She had me holding the mirror for a while. She looks at this mirror reflecting off that mirror on the back of her. Amen, guys, you know what I'm talking about? When I'm fixing to go on camera, I don't really care what this looks like. Because it's not really something you do to do this in front of a camera, okay? You just don't do that. So, to be honest with you, there's not a whole lot that I can do about behind me anyway. And most of the time I'm walking around and Lisa's going, "Mike, you got something right there." "Well, I can't get it, honey." She's trying to look after me, but most of these things, Phil, that are back here, ain't a thing in the world I can do about it. And I want to say to you that if it happened yesterday, it's back there. If it happened a year ago, it's back there. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, let us press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Whatever is behind me is behind me. And I'm saying to you today, leave it there. Don't do, what did Lot's wife do? Don't do that. That'll mess you up. And it messed her up. So he said in 1 Thessalonians 5, "But at the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child." And they, there's always a difference in the Bible between they and us, they and we. "They shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day." Stop right here. When you woke up this morning, the whole night before you was over with, wasn't it? And it was daylight again. And whatever happened last night is last night. It's over with. Do you know in the book of Lamentation, and just this gets more real to me and more precious to me, but I understand it more every day. God said in Lamentations that my mercies are new every day. You ought to tell God thank you for that one. Amen. And say, God, do that with my wife or my husband. Amen. Let my wife and my husband's mercies be new every day toward me. Amen. I thank you. Thank you. But it's behind. All the darkness of last night is behind, and it's over with. And there's a reason why God has us sleep at night. Just go through it, and in the morning, everything will be fine. And I can't tell you the number of times I woke up in the morning with a heavy heart the night before, and woke up in the morning, and God is like, God was saying, "See, it's daylight again. It's a new day again, starting all over again. Let's go." "Okay, God, I'll do it. Let's go. That's fine. It's not dark anymore. Let's go do this." So he said, "You're children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." Sister Betty, I love you. I'm going to talk about Lee for a couple minutes, because I have had this in my mind and God began to show it to me over and over just how right this Bible is. I believe that if you're like Abram and God has imputed his righteousness to you, you will know. Because I got called to the hospital one night. And Sister Betty, I went over to the hospital. Betty met me outside and she said, "Brother Mike," she said, "it's, I don't know what you're going to get in there. He's kind of not in his mind. He's just kind of talking here or there." She said, "I just wanted to prepare you before you went in there." I said, "Betty, that's okay. I did, but I appreciate you calling me. Let's go in and pray with him." She'll tell you, when I walked in that door, that room got quiet. And he sat there and he saw me and he knew who I was and he looked at me. Just like that, there was a difference in him. And all of a sudden, he started praying. He said, "Let's pray." And I prayed with him, and he prayed out loud. And you know what he said after that? He said, "I just wanted to make sure." And I said, "Lee, God bless you, buddy. Hey, I'll come by and check on you in the morning." Well, they called me that night. I said he had passed. I want more than anything. I don't need to know it now unless I'm going to die now. But I want to know before I die. I want to know that I am a child of the day and not of the night. And when I'm laying on my deathbed or whatever it is, I want to be looking ahead to what my Father has for me rather than behind and all the stupid stuff I've done with my life. I want that more than anything. Don't you want it? You want that kind of peace? You want that kind of happiness? That's what I'm trying to preach to you today. How shall I know? And that man knew, Sister Betty. That has blessed me. And what God did for him that day has blessed me probably more than a lot of other things in my life. Just what I saw, the testimony from him. And all he wanted to know was, "I just wanted to know. I just wanted to know. And I'm going to see him one of these days." Okay? Same thing with my dad. I think he knew. "Dad, you want to pray?" "Yeah, son, let's pray." And God gave me that before my dad left out of here. He knew. So, if you're here today and you don't know, or if you're here today and you've had doubts, you've had these recurring doubts, "God, am I? God, is it going to happen? God, how will I know? God, how will I know?" It's okay for you to say, "God, I know I'm going to struggle with doubts. I know I'm going to struggle with this or that or the other. God, before I get out of here, I want to know. I want to know that I'm going." Does that sound like something good to ask God for? Okay? So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to scoot out of the way here. And I'm just going to ask you this morning, if you wouldn't mind coming one place or the other and say, "God, I want to know. Before I leave, I want to know." Would you stand to your feet?